Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
You know what I've missed in church? I've missed this banter and interaction back and forth. I've missed the kids. I've missed everything about not being in church. Isn't it fantastic? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity we have of being together. And Lord God, again, we don't take it lightly. We just give you thanks that we can join together and have fun together, but Lord God, also worship you as a family. And so, Lord, I pray as we open your word this morning that you would, Lord, overshadow it, and that, Father, that you would grab the intent that you put upon my heart, and that you'd allow your Holy Spirit to rest upon it, anoint it, Lord God, but also make it real in the hearts of those that hear. And so we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to reflect on 2020. You know, when I started reflecting on 2020, it was pretty hard to think back about a month ago because so much happened and so much has happened and so much changes so quickly. But hopefully I want to bring a positive perspective to what I think has been a very interesting year, to say the least. A year that I think is going to go down in the annals of history as the year of the China virus, as Mr. Trump would say. Or, probably more accurately, Mr. Trump, the year of COVID-19. A year where every nation, every colour group, whether rich or poor, young or old, have been impacted. As our Christmas theme says, he shall reign. However, I'd like to change that this morning. Now, I'm just going to make certain that all the slides are coming up properly. Yeah, that's good. Thank you very, very much, Josh. I told you I was going to do that. Oh, Ishra and Josh. Thank you, guys. Doing a great job. I'd like to change it to not he shall reign, but to he does reign. Go back. That's it. Perfect. He does reign, because I think that's the truth. What are they doing to me? What have I done? Did I have reins? I changed that. Chris, you didn't fix that for me. You know, I woke up this morning, got up really early, came up with a cup of coffee to Chris, and she said, I've been thinking. The slide had an S in it, and it shouldn't have. And I said, I fixed that. No, I didn't fix it. See, the Holy Spirit was talking to you when you were asleep this morning. It's amazing, isn't it? Anyhow, it is the truth. He does reigns. I would really love everyone this morning to leave knowing that God is in charge. And that before 2020 began, he knew what was going to look like. And he also knows what 2021 is going to look like. And beyond that, because God reigns. Our God does reign, or better still, let's personalize it and say, my God reigns. Because that's what it is. It's my God. He is my God and he reigns. He loves me and he loves you personally as well. And he reigns in your circumstance, in your situation. Why? Because he is the same yesterday, today and forever. Also, because all things work together for good to those who love him and called according to his purpose. And for somebody who I say this to so regularly, his ways are not our ways. In fact, they are far higher than our ways because God reigns. The Bible tells us in Exodus 15 that the Lord will reign forever and ever. In Psalm 93, verse 1, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. Don't you like that? He's robed in majesty. Yes, the world is established and it shall never be moved. Why? Because God reigns. In 96:10 it says, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established and it shall never be moved. In Psalm 97 verse 1, the Lord reigns and let the earth rejoice. Let us rejoice. Psalm 146, the Lord will reign forever. And again, a beautiful thought to all generations. Not just to us, not to the past, but to all generations. And then the song that we've been singing, has a little bit about this scripture in it, in Revelation 19. Then I heard what seemed to be a voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." Isn't that beautiful? You know, it'd be great just to stop right there, get the worship team up again, and to sing that again as an anthem back to our God, because He reigns forever to all generations. He's robed in majesty. He does reign. He is reigning. He is my God and He reigns. And He is your God and He reigns. You know, I received a Christmas card with a newsletter in it this week. And the newsletter started off like this. Well, what an incredible year of doom and gloom and darkness we've all gone through. Now, true perspective. And as I read on through the newsletter, it was brought into context. But that statement made me stop. I stopped and I started to reflect on 2020. I thought, how has 2020 impacted me personally? Or how has 2020 impacted us on the LMC property as a group, church, school, kids, etc.? Would I have said that 2020 has been a year of doom and gloom and darkness? You know, my conclusion was I wouldn't have, and I won't, because I don't think it has been. Now, please, I know that many have done it tough, and I'm not belittling or making light of tragedies that might have happened throughout this year. However, I can't help but see that through it all, our God has reigned. That my God has reigned. That your God has reigned, and that your God has reigned. I started to reflect on 2020, and it really meant that I had to think back, right back. I typed in the Google machine to try and find out what had happened in 2020, and you know, there's so much there. I remember back to January when Victoria was alight with bushfires. We were sitting as a staff talking about the year, and Nick and Matt and Jules were up to their necks planning for camp. Bensdale was not safe. We were umming and ahhing back and forth. Will we go? Will we not go? We were looking at maps to see the circles that you could and couldn't go in. And finally, as a leadership team, it was decided that Bensdale was not safe. In fact, as we looked at the map, nowhere was. So it was decided that rather than cancel youth camp, that we would use this incredible property that God has given us, the facilities that we have on this property, to do youth camp in. Obviously, disappointing, as who wants to camp at home? Yet that is what they did. Now, I can't tell you the mammoth amount of work that the leadership team and the youth team put into getting that stadium organized to make it feel different to school. But they did. Far more work than what they would have put in if they'd gone to Bensdale. A mammoth amount of work to ensure that our youth had the best possible experience. Talking to many afterwards, it was the best camp ever. Why? Because our God reigns. God showed up and He blew the socks off all the skeptics. Because He reigns. Let's give our leaders an incredible clap because they did an amazing job. I then thought of the sadness that families have gone through the loss of loved ones this year. I think of Pastor Hal and Pastor Dahl and Alan Staunton and Wilfred Gordon. I thought of their families. I thought of the grief that they went through. I thought of the difficult times, not being able to have visitors in hospitals, not being able to have funeral services that would have been right for those that had passed away. Yet I know each of those families would say right now, even in their grief, even in their loss, that their God reigns. In the cycle of life, you can't have death without birth. And I'm sure the parents of Avery Travers or Isla Gash or Jonah Devensenis. Hi, Jonah. He's gone. Hi, Jonah. He's there. Or Kariva. I saw Kariva walk in. Well, she was in a pram. Leah Wilson and Zara Samuels and Zwala Bowie Thang, all born throughout the year. I'm sure their parents would say right now that their God reigned in 2020. They might be COVID babies. They won't know anything about it, but their parents will tell them. But God reigned in their circumstance, in their situation. I'm sure that Armando and Mary Sata, talking of weddings now, it's in the middle. You know, Mary and Armando brought their wedding forward from what was going to be October or November, a big wedding, to a wedding of only 50 because Pastor Dahl was sick and wasn't expected to live much longer. Then we think of Travis and Gabriel. They had their wedding cut down to 20 people. And then we think of Tim and Linda, who got married last Saturday, or Saturday before. It was going to be 5. Then it was going to be 10. Then a religious service was allowed to be 50, so it was going to be 50. And guess what? It ended up at 150. But God was in charge. I think all of those would say, in fact, I know all of those would say, that even though their plans, even though the things that they thought were going to happen, even though the things that they had imagined all of those years might have been a little different to what they'd thought, that on their wedding day, God reigned. God took the disarray and brought beauty into it. And then we come to all the church activities. You know, as I started to think about the church activities, I thought of Pastor Andy and Cass. This is their entree year into leading a church. How easy could it have been? God was in charge, Andy. Where are you? God was in charge, Andy. I told you that at the start. Remember, let go and let God. And God took over, and that's all you needed to know. Was it easy for them? I don't think it was. But I think they've done an amazing job. I think they've done an incredible job. You know, so many curveballs. But Andy will be able to look back and say, if I can go through that, then I can do anything through God who strengthens me. Because God reigns. Andy, congratulations. Great job. Think of the Easter egg hunt. You know, we had bought the Easter eggs. They were sitting in my house. And I mean lots and lots and lots of Easter eggs, because sitting down in the stadium, because the stadium wasn't being used, they were melting a little. It was on, it was off. You can't drive through, you can drive through. You can't touch the Easter eggs, you can touch the Easter eggs. We gave people back their money, and then we told them, keep your tickets, because one day, somewhere, somehow, you can have your Easter eggs. And that was a, can I have that slide back? That was a fun day. It was raining, as often is the case when we do things outside, but it was a fun day watching people's faces as they enjoyed being blessed, as they knew in the midst of COVID that we were thinking of them. And then we think of the church services. You know, 50, 20, 5. Give us that slide, please. Nobody. Bar just some ugly-looking bits of paper on some chairs with some heads on it. You know, when it went from 20 down to 10, we thought, oh no. Then it went to 5. How are we going to do that? Yet, Andy and the team made it work. And unlike most churches, we did it live. Not plastic, we did it live. So if God was moving, which he was, we would be ready for what he wanted to do. Baptisms, baby dedications, as we were able to, came online and they were fantastic. And then last week, the Christmas carols. It's on, it's off. It's going to be streamed. No, it's going to be outside. We're going to have circles on the oval. And then all of a sudden, it's live with 1,000 people. Well done to all involved for last week. It was fantastic. You know, you don't put something on like that without a mammoth amount of work. And it's not just the COVID work, it's the work of trying to make it happen. You see, it would be so easy to have said we can't do it this year. And I know of so many organisations and groups that have just said it's all too hard. But that's not what the leadership team here wanted to do. They wanted to make certain that we could experience God. And I think it was fantastic. In fact, for the first time for any event that I've seen for a long time, it didn't rain. It was a beautiful night. There was no wind. And even the sound carried to our neighbours. I know, because they rang me. And I even know because the council rang me. But the EPA didn't, and that's okay. And then Christmas lights. You know, we do a wash-up of Christmas lights in February in an eldership meeting, and we talk about it. And as we went through the year of meetings, each of the minutes was Christmas lights. It's on, it's off. We're going to do it around the church. We're going to do it in stations, and people will stop. No, that's too hard. We're not going to do that. And then finally, it's going to be on the stadium again. And again, we'll put circles on the oval. And we'll sit in family groups, social distancing, as you have to do. And it's good to see you all social distancing in here. Thank you. You are. They are, I can tell you. What a great effort those Christmas lights are, and what a blessing. You know, we're building a building, if you haven't seen. And there are so many guys on that building site who come from Yarra Glen, Healesville, Launching Place, down Pakenham Way, who have been on this site and seen our Christmas lights, who come every year with their families to see the Christmas lights. They love it. It's a tradition. They do it. In fact, some of them tell me that their wives send them here on Christmas Eve so they can get something done. Take the kids to the Christmas lights. Well done to the team for the Christmas lights. Let's thank them. So before I move on, I seriously do, and I know Andy should be doing this, and I'm sorry, Andy, that you'll have to follow up after me and do it. I want to thank all the leaders. As obviously the senior pastor looking on and just watching what is happening around this place and being able to sit above everything and look and watch the leadership and the teams that God has put across this whole property, I am so proud of them all, from the school and what the school has done, to Kim and the Oxley Kids, to, of course, Andy here. You know, amazing stuff. You know, I know the DSS documentation wasn't that good sometimes. Hard to interpret, but it worked. And then I think of all the groups in the church, from the phone calls to the letters of encouragement to the Real Women's Magazine, to the craft packs, to the food hampers, to the generosity of our needs fund, for the inventive ways that so many have found how to do church at home, to make church look as normal as possible in a non-normal year. All I can say is thank you. And I'd like you to all clap yourselves because you have done an amazing job this year. And because you have been who you are, you've allowed God to reign through you. And the world has seen that. And I can tell you, so many have seen that. And then who can forget school? You know, again, the amount of discussions, the amount of chats that we've had regarding school, and the amount of work that Doug and his team would have done in just, again, every little curveball that came to them. Looking from the outside in and looking at it from my side without children, God has reigned through Oxford College this year. A massive shout out to all the teachers and Michael Mance, if you're here, congratulations, and all the other teachers that are here today from our school and from other schools. I can see other teachers here. You know, I want to thank you for what you've done this year to make certain that our students, our kids, have had as normal a year as they could possibly have in this abnormal year. A massive pat on the back to all parents who, through no fault of your own, can now add to your resume that you are teachers. You have done a great job. A huge cheer, shout out to the Year 12s, or the students, particularly the Year 12s, who I know have missed out on so much, yet I believe that you have come through as students with flying colours. And again, I think that is an amazing thing. So all I can say is, our God reigns. My God reigns. He shall reign. He does reigns. And lastly, who can forget COVID, the China virus? Our God reigned in the midst of all the masks. Keep looking. I love the antivirus one, don't you? God reigned through lockdown. You know, we can say that we went through the curfew. Sanitizer. My hands are alcoholics. They have been rubbed so much. They see a sanitizer now and they start to shake. And then, of course, we had the panic buying. Excuse the pixelated pictures, but that's all I could do in the short time I had. You know, Chris and I did a little bit of panic buying. Let's see the next one. That's our Christmas tree, and it's made up of toilet paper. That is our Christmas tree. Now, that came because of Nick and Aaron doing one of their host spots, and one of the host spots, fantastic. Holly, Matt, stand up, because nobody knows you, Holly. Everybody, this is Holly. Turn around. Nick and Aaron, stand up. Yes, you are. You're going to stand up, Nick, because you embarrassed Chris. And Claudia, how is it that you get up and speak when Andy asks you to, but you never did for me? I was going to ask you to stand, Claudia, but nobody will see you. Stand up, Claudia. Yes, stand up. Andy, would you tell her to stand up? So go back to the Christmas tree. I've got a story. Aaron and Nick said that the tree had to be straight, not scoliosis or whatever you said, Aaron. Is that it? Scoliosis? Not scoliosis. Had to be real, made from trees, and recyclable. And get this, it had to smell nice. So I sprayed toilet spray all over it. By the way, I didn't buy those toilet rolls. No, I got them from down the store, in our store here, okay? And then, of course, we have homeschooling. Next slide. Now, excuse our kids, but they're the only photos I have. Just homeschooling was done in so many different ways, and I've talked to parents the inventive ways that they could get their kids to learn. Okay, and then of course we had Zoom and Teams. You know, I'd never heard of the word Zoom before, but now Zoom is a part of my vocabulary. And then of course all the activities to stop the boredom. Now, Lego was the best activity. Look at Rick Radford up the top right-hand corner. Poor old Rick, when he was doing homeschooling, was given a Lego set, and look what he built. A fantastic thing. Well done, Rick. Lego. Who had Lego for their kids? Hands up. Not that many. That was a flop, wasn't it? What did you have? What was the thing that kept everyone active? Board games. What board game? Quick. Huh? Boulder Dash. Is that game of five? Okay, I don't even know any of those. Is that like Ludo or one of those ones?
Takes too long.
What about Monopoly? Yeah, okay. Despite everything that COVID threw at us, we look back and we say that our God reigned. Even though at the time it might have been too hard, God reigned. And so as I come to a close, throughout the week I've been doing a lot of meetings and functions, and every one that I've attended, as Chris Blacker would know, I have used them as my research team for this message. And I've asked them one simple question. If you were to sum up 2020, this COVID year, with one thought, what would you say? And I'm asking you that, what would you say? Think about it. What would you say if you were to sum up? If I came to you right now and said, if you were to sum up this COVID year with one thought, one word, a sentence, what would you say? Let me give you some of what people have said. One person said that they've learnt perseverance. They've learnt not to give up. Another one told me that they've learnt what true value is like for them. The value of family, the value of relationships, the value of this church and the love that has been shown to them throughout the year. Another person told me that they'd learnt that isolation was good because God had used that isolation to draw them closer to Himself. Another person told me that COVID has caused them to rely on God. Another one said that COVID was their circuit breaker. COVID has made them review the priorities of their life in comparing their life last year to this year, to not going to work as they did, to not sitting on trains and traveling and being so busy, to stop and to use this as a circuit breaker. Another one looked and saw the provision, the doom and gloom, the fear of not having a job, yet looking back, they can't believe how their God has provided for them. Another one shared with me the faithfulness of God, and it was just a rich time of talking and listening to the faithfulness of God in the midst of what the world threw at them. Another one talked about the false fear, and they used that word, false fear, because that was what was being thrown at us at the start of the year. Every hospital is going to fall. People are going to be dying in the streets. You know, Jeff's shed is going to be turned into a trauma situation. Fear, fear, fear. They learned to not listen to false fear, to put their trust in their God. Another one said that they've learned to adapt. They've been a normally rigid person, but they've learned to adapt and to move with the times. Another one told me about just their appreciation of God's covenant and God's covering. And then one of them was smart and spoke to me about COVID with the COVID, C equaling calm, just the calm that he had felt throughout this season. The O, speaking of being an overcomer, the V, the victory, the I, the inner peace, and the D, the deliverance that God has brought us through. So as we look at COVID, one of the key words that have come out of it is the word pivot. We have learnt to pivot, that through God and with God, we can do whatever we need to do to worship Him. So as we gear up for Christmas, let's not forget the year we've been through. Let's use the Christmas message to reinforce our confidence in knowing our God reigns. One of the dangers that we face is that we will move on very, very quickly and neglect to take with us the lessons that we've learned. And so I want you to know today that our God reigns. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. God bless you all. Let's see you at Christmas Day.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you, worship team. What a wonderful time in worship it is. It is wonderful to see so many faces in church, and perhaps it's your first time joining with us back in person. Welcome to you. It is so great to be joining with you in this festive season. And if it is your first time in church, we have some different looking communion today. So don't let that put you off. It just requires a little bit of peeling at the start. The cracker comes out, and then you peel the second layer, and the juice is there. So you can work it out as you go. 5 days until Christmas. Has everyone got their Christmas presents? Hand up. Is anyone brave enough to say that they don't have all of their Christmas presents yet? You haven't bought them? Wow, a lot of hands. A lot of hands. Good luck going to the stores in the next 5 days. But whether you are family or whether you have friends that you're buying presents for, perhaps you are a little bit late this year because there are some people in our lives that we buy Christmas presents for that are just really hard to buy for. Does anyone have people? Don't put up your hand because perhaps they're sitting next to you, but Dad just put up his hand. I hope that wasn't me. But those people that have everything that you think you couldn't get them anything, because what do you get people that already have everything that they need? And if we were to give God a Christmas present, which really it's his birthday, so we should be getting him a Christmas present, what would you get him? We know that God could have anything that he wanted. If he wanted a sunny day, he could have it. Literally, the world is in his hands, so he has it all. Yet as we come around the communion table this morning, there is something that he wants from us. It's crazy to think that the creator of the universe wants something from us, but he does. When Jesus came to earth, he came to open the door for relationship with us. In Revelation 3 verse 20 it says, Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. This cup and the bread representing Jesus' sacrifice is a gift, and it's a gift with our name on it. We all love a gift that is personal. At Christmas, we appreciate when someone goes to the effort of buying something that is specific to us. I know if I get a pink mug, that wasn't really intended for me. It's just a present that I've ended up with. And as we consider communion this morning, God wants us to know that this bread, this cup this morning is personal. It is something that we do together, but it is also something that is individually tailored to your journey, to your relationship with God. It can meet you right where you are at this morning. Because although God sees it all, our God is a personal God. He doesn't just see a number. He doesn't see a generation or the class of 2020. He doesn't just see those things, but he sees the individual. He sees you. The word says in 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loved us whilst we were still sinners. He died for us and brought us our destiny, should we choose to accept the invitation. And as we reflect upon this incredible sacrifice of Jesus this morning, despite him knowing everything about us, everything that we've done, everything that we are going to do, he chose to open the door, provide this gift, and invite us into relationship with him. But like any gift, we need to accept it and we need to open it, not just leave it sitting there. Relationships are not built by one person, but actually requires both people to enter into that relationship. God has done his bit, but he is still waiting for us to do our bit as well. God, being the personal God that he is, he asks us for something in return, and it's the one thing that only you can give that the person next to you cannot give. There's one thing that you can give that the person next to you cannot, and it is your affection. Your affection, to enter into relationship with him and enter with thanksgiving. Out of your affection for God flows obedience to his word and the following of his calling upon your life. But first we need to recognize the offering of Jesus, the offering of this cup and its significance. For if the cup loses its significance, your affection drops. You know, I've grown up my entire life doing church, doing communion, which is an absolute blessing. And I've loved doing communion just about every week this year and hearing the different perspectives from different members within our church and different stories. And I've calculated I've probably done communion about 1,000 times in a congregation during my life. And I'd be lying if I said every time, every one of those times I was in the right mindset in communion, because sometimes we can get into routine when we can have the tendency to lose focus when we are in routine. But God wants to challenge our heart in these moments. Sometimes hearing a message isn't about mental revelation, but spiritual revelation. We don't have to learn something new about God to give him our affection and experience his presence for a new time. And that is what is so special about communion. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of his love for you and I as individuals, the Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 4, we can enter his presence with thanksgiving. Meaning right now, the invitation has been sent. The offer has been sent. No matter where you are at, you have the opportunity to enter his presence right now with thanksgiving. To come before God and be made clean, be made righteous, and offer him your affection. Where in the Old Testament it was required that only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, at a certain time, Jesus came, he died, he rose again, that we may come before him at any time, at this moment. And so I know my prayer is, and I hope yours is the same, that I don't want to miss an opportunity to be in God's presence. Communion this morning is an opportunity to enter God's presence with thanksgiving. And as we do, we can receive joy, we can receive peace, no matter what is going on around us. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, Jesus is described as our Prince of Peace, and we hear that verse quite a lot in this season. And I don't know if you've experienced God's presence or the feeling that God is with you, but to me, it could be described as perfect peace. I know that for me personally, I have had the most cherished times encountering God's presence, knowing that he is with me and that he knows me better than I even know myself. And there are a number of times where I can recall God's presence in the tough times when I know I just need God to provide me his peace. And if you need peace right now, if reflecting upon this year perhaps causes you grief or looking towards next year is making you anxious, know that you can find all you need in God's presence because of Jesus' sacrifice. A great quote I heard recently said, "Peace isn't found in the absence of problems, but peace is found in the presence of God." Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have the opportunity to have peace in God's presence. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace when your minds are fixed on him," when your minds are fixed on Jesus. And I'm wondering now if we can take communion. And as we do, the band are just going to sing over you, sing over us, "How Great Thou Art" again. And I'd love to encourage you to just sit, to just take communion in your own time and reflect on how great our God is, how great this sacrifice is. Because there is an exchange that Jesus has provided for us when we take communion. He has provided us this free personal gift. In exchange, he asks for our affection and our gratitude. So let's take the time now to accept this invitation to enter God's presence with thanksgiving. And in doing so, God receives what he wants from us, our affection. And we receive righteousness, wholeness, peace, fulfillment as we enjoy being in his presence, as we enjoy being where God has created us to be. So let's take communion. Father God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to just bathe in your presence. That, Lord God, we can come before you. We can bring everything, all our burdens, everything that we're feeling, Lord God, everything that we're carrying, we can lay them at your feet because of your Son, because of Jesus and your sacrifice. So, Lord God, we praise you for everything that you've done. For, Lord God, for this season that we're in, Lord God, we thank you for the celebration that we have in the birth of our Saviour, for the victory that we have from your death and resurrection, Jesus. And so, Lord God, we say, have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our lives. And move through us as we lay ourselves at your feet. So, God, have your way in this service. Continue to move, we pray. Amen. Amen.